We are in a short series of messages having to do with the connection of faith and works. In the first message, we looked at the fact that we are saved by the works of Jesus Christ. We are not saved by our own works. That's very important, isn't it? We are brought to God by Him and by His works. And so we talked about our salvation on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ. Then we looked at a formulation, and I'm going to be giving you several formulations. The bare formulation I gave you last week was faith yields justification. And it's a bare formulation because I think, in actuality, many individuals think wrongly that justification is by faith alone and by a faith that does stand alone. And we're going to work that over a little bit more as we look at this subject. But what we found last week through the words of Jesus was that our lives are very important, that what we do is very important. There is no merit to what we do, but Jesus, in the end, wants what? Lives that simply believe in Him, or lives that trust Him and are changed lives? It's the latter, is it not? And so we're going to be looking at that very fact as we progress. And we looked at the fact last week that the bare formulation, faith yields justification, as it stands, is in part correct, but it is not totally correct. Because Jesus says in the end, to many who stand before Him at the judgment day, depart from me, all you who are filled with deeds of lawlessness. And so we're wrestling with this. And it's an important wrestling match, it seems to me. The proper connection between faith and work. Now, coming back off of last week's lesson, some people might say, well, faith plus works then yields justification. Is this the case? May it never be. And we want to work that over a little bit. You see, I have a question mark in the outline. Faith plus works yields justification? Question mark? No, that's not the case. And our text in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5 lay that plainly before us. And so I say at the outset, your right standing before God does not depend upon the works you do prior to justification or after justification. You receive right standing before God by grace through faith. And we're wrestling with where those works come in. And so we look this morning at Galatians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I say in the first point of the outline, those who hear the gospel and hold works to be part of the basis for justification are without understanding. You see, this is the point to which Paul is getting. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you into thinking that somehow works are a basis for your right standing before God? Who's bewitched you into this thinking? I think it's quite interesting that when Paul says, you foolish Galatians, in essence he's saying, have you lost your mind? Are you out of your mind? This is what Paul is saying. Are you without a mind to think this way? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It's as though some kind of mystical enchantment has come upon you and brought you away from the rudiments of the gospel. How could this be? Paul is asking. Who has bewitched you? And the fascinating thing that Paul is saying is, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now what the Apostle Paul is saying is that, look, Galatians, I was in your midst, and I set before you the gospel, the story of Jesus. And I told you about His coming. And I told you how He lived in this world a perfect life. And we worked over those concepts. And I told you about His betrayal and how He was taken into custody. And finally, at the hands of the Roman governor, He was put to death. And that death on a cross. And I've explained to you the meaning of these things. That we are all worthy of the death penalty because of our sin. And Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay the penalty due to others for their sins. And I explained to you in detail, did I not, how it was that this Jesus was raised again from the grave on the third day. And this was no myth. This was not a fairy tale. You talk about the bodily resurrection as though it were a myth. No. Some do at any rate. Jesus Christ was first seen by certain women in the garden. And then He was seen by the apostles. And He appeared to them on diverse occasions. Ate with them even. And I presented to you all of these things. And I told you of how Jesus Christ was taken into heaven. And the apostles saw Him bodily ascend into heaven. And you yourselves acknowledged that the descriptions that I gave you were so vivid, it was as though Jesus Christ Himself were here crucified in your very presence. This is the meaning of verse 1. Look at it again. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? You heard the message and you saw the picture of Jesus that I set before you. How in the world could you turn back from that message in any way? Paul is asking. How could you think in any way that you contributed to your own salvation? And so again, in point one, I say, those who hear the gospel and hold works to be a part of the basis for justification, right standing with God, are without understanding. They're out of their minds, as Paul says. Okay? And then Paul goes on. Verse 2. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And so I say in the second point of the outline, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, not on the basis of works, but through hearing the gospel and trusting in Christ. Verse 2 is a very interesting verse. And Calvin himself says that there's a little bit of controversy over the meaning of the verse. But he points to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, which says, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, it's very likely that what Paul has in mind in verse 2 of Galatians chapter 3 is the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about this a little bit before. Perhaps some of you remember. Let me try and explain it to you this way. Last week, we were in Matthew chapter 7. And you remember what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 about how we identify believers? You will know them by their fruits. Right? This is what we said. This is what Jesus says. You will know them by their fruit. How do you know an apple tree? Well, some of you know the bark of an apple tree and the leaves of an apple tree well enough. Others of us don't know that, and we know an apple tree is an apple tree by the fruit that it bears. Is that not correct? We see that this is the case. How do you know a genuine believer? Is it by the gifts that they may manifest? No. That's not what Jesus says. It is by the visible fruit which the believer bears in this life. And the primary fruit, as we saw last week, is the fruit of love. The fruit of the Spirit begins with that. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. And interesting that Paul puts self-control at the end in a prominent position, because many of us need that special fruit of the Spirit, self-control. But at any rate, these are visible manifestations of the presence of the Spirit. And these visible manifestations form a seal, a visible mark, which is upon the Christian life, displaying that the individual actually is a believer. You see, a seal is a visible mark or visible stamp. And the seal of the Holy Spirit is the outcropping of fruit in the lives of individuals. Now, how is it that this fruit comes about? Is it by grinding it out, following the works of the law? Is that how the fruit comes about? No, that's not how the fruit comes about. The fruit comes about by the Spirit bearing that fruit in our lives. Is this not the case? As we depend upon the grace of God. And so Paul is asking the question, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Was it that the Spirit of God was visible and manifest in your life because you proved to God by your works that you were worthy of the gift of the Spirit? Or was that fruit born in your life as you in faith came to God through Jesus Christ? Well, you know it's the latter. You know absolutely it's the latter. And so you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, not on the basis of works, but through hearing the gospel and trusting in Christ. This is the point. Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Paul asks the Galatians. Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And so I say in point 3 of the outline, you cannot begin the Christian walk by grace through faith and come to perfection by works of the flesh. You see, that's the essence of the question Paul is asking in verse 3. How is it that you began the Christian life? How is it that you began the Christian life? Was it not by grace through faith? Was that not the case? I know in my own case, there's nothing else I can say, because I know very well that there was no way that Denny Pruto in any way deserves the salvation bestowed by God. Absolutely no way. And there is absolutely no way any individual living on the face of the earth deserves the salvation which is dispensed by God, by grace, through faith. Is this not the point? Paul says in Ephesians